This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. And by Wyndham Garden Lafayette.
From Chopsticks Restaurant in Lafayette, we're out to lunch with creative business consultant Aileen Bennett. It's business Acadiana style.
Hi, I'm Aileen Bennett. Welcome to Out to Lunch. When you're starting a new business, every consultant will tell you, rule number one is make sure your business solves a problem that people want solved. That last part of the sentence is considered to be vital. If you don't have a product that people are looking for, you'll never sell it and your business won't work. Then, of course, there's the exception to the rule. For example, dehydrated cocktail mixes that allow you to make delicious bar-quality cocktail on top of a mountain or a desert island or in a foreign country where they don't know how to make a good old-fashioned. Those dehydrated cocktail mixes are made right here in Lafayette. They're called Leisureman's Cocktail Mixes. You might not have woken up this morning or any morning thinking, I wonder where I can buy a dehydrated cocktail mix to take on vacation. But it's one of those strange things that once you know about it, you wonder why nobody ever thought of this before. One of the people who did think about it is the co-owner of Leisureman's Cocktail Mixes, Cliff Cuvillon. Cliff, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
Besides dehydrated cocktail mixes, there are many other things in life that you can live without. They include gelato, sorbetto, coffee, wine, croissants, gluten-free baked goods, and brunch. However, if you decide your life would be a lot better if you didn't live without any of these things, you can find them all in downtown Lafayette at the stylishly revamped cafe and wine bar, Carpe Diem. The owner of Carpe Diem is Liz Payne. Liz, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
Cliff, let's start with Business 101. Creating and marketing a product. As I was saying, it's hard to imagine that the world has been waiting for a dehydrated cocktail mix. But then again, nobody knew they needed Uber, Amazon Prime, or any number of other things that we now regard as indispensable till somebody invented it and told us about it. So, given that people might fall in love with Leisureman's cocktail mix if they just tried it, how do you get people to try it? How are you finding your market?
So basically what we do a lot of events. And for us, events kind of connect us with our end user. They connect us with the people that are actually going to buy our product. And what we found is that, you know, since we are in a very niche market, that when people actually see the product, they can taste it, they can demo it, they somewhat freak out. They kind of say, wait, this is a dry mix. All I do is mix it with water and spirit and I can have a cocktail. And we say, yeah, it's real life. It's not magic. And then all of a sudden we get in this long conversation with them talking about, you know, cocktails their grandpa used to drink or cocktails their mom drinks and sort of develop this culture behind it. But for us, it's all about connecting with the patrons. It's all about connecting with the end user.
So who is actually your market?
So we like to tell people it's kind of anybody, you know, in a sense. But what our general market is, are kind of those people that are adventurous, you know, the people that are looking to go on a trip and want a cocktail wherever they go, or just kind of enjoy the luxuries that a cocktail would afford. And then on the flip side of that are people at their house who don't want to buy all the ingredients to make an old fashioned or a bee's knees or something like that. And they can have a quick, repeatable cocktail over and over and over again. And then there's, you know, kind of these little funny markets that are in there, because we do some stuff with the Lafayette Moms blog, and, you know, for moms, it's a big thing. Hey, we can make a cocktail in less than a minute.
It is
kids
really
are asleep.
A big thing.
let's enjoy a drink, you know? So I would say it's almost everybody, but, you know, it's not really inclusive.
And do people get so, like, this is how I like my cocktail, that they then travel with your stuff rather than buying a cocktail wherever they are?
It's funny you ask that. So what we tell people is we're not here to replace, you know, your bartender. I'm not here to replace your favorite old fashioned or wherever you go to get your favorite bar quality cocktail. Where I come in is where you can't have that specific bartender or where you can't have all those ingredients and you could have a really damn close bar quality cocktail using my mix.
Liz, the refurbished Carpe Diem is really elegant, but it's still welcoming and relaxed place to be. Adding wine to the menu gives you a whole other dimension, and for some reason it makes the place more sophisticated and cosmopolitan and European. But principally, you're in the business of selling coffee and gelato, which are both challenging products. each in their own way. When you have economy of scale like Starbucks, your margins on a cup of coffee can be significant. But when you have a single outlet like Carpe Diem, you can only charge so much for a cup of coffee. I imagine it must take a good number of cups of coffee before you're making a profit for the day. And then there's gelato, which has to be made fresh every morning. It seems like running a business like this could be stressful, demanding daily routine. Is it, in fact, hand-to-hand combat, day-to-day kind of business, or can you lean back and run it with a bigger picture in mind?
I was really stressed the first few months that I took it over because I had to teach myself how to make gelato, teach myself coffee, and then I added crepes and baked goods. So it was really stressful in the beginning, but I've hired the right people to allow myself to take a day off.
So did you introduce things to try and up the average ticket price?
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't make much money if three people drink coffee for 2 hours, and I'm guilty of doing that.
No, and that's fine, and we love that. But if you come in for a cup of coffee and you see the orange olive oil cake on the counter and you're like, I need that, that's, you know, it's perfect. That's what I wanted. You know.
So how do you get the word out that you now have breakfast and different actual
That's
meals?
The thing, I don't have a large budget for marketing. I'm having to do everything myself. I can't even hire someone to create a logo, and I want a new sign. And so it's just slow, steady improvements. That's my new motto. So besides social media, I don't really have an outlet to let people know besides word of mouth, which is amazing in Lafayette. Really, it's probably our biggest.
So once someone comes in and realizes they can have breakfast or lunch there,
yes,
they take a photo, they put it on social media, and
perfect,
other people realize they can have breakfast.
And then
or
I'll
lunch
have people
there.
Come in that say, my girlfriend told me to come in, I'm gluten free, this is awesome, I'm not really even buying anything today, but I just wanted to check it out, I'll be back this weekend. And we're getting special orders for birthdays now, and it's really been word of mouth for us.
Cliff, with Leisureman's, how did you get it out to start? You've got a thing going now. People know who you mm-hmm. are. They see you at events. But the very first day, you're like, how do we tell people that we're making this?
Just like Liz, you know, marketing is kind of a struggle for us. You know, I don't want to sit there and throw thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to Facebook, and I don't really have thousands of dollars to throw at Facebook. And I would say how we started was just trying to get it in front of people. That was a really big thing for us, is to get people aware that we're here. And, you know, we still struggle with that. We still struggle with having people aware that we're actually based here in Lafayette. And we do events in Lafayette, New Orleans, and even in Baton Rouge. And people say, where are you guys at? Oh, we're in Lafayette. Well, that's just right up the road. That's right here. You know, so I really think it's taken a huge grassroots effort for us to try and get our product in front of people.
So I have this image of you sitting at your kitchen table, mixing things together. How do you make this stuff, and how do you dehydrate flavor without giving your secrets away?
Yeah, it's a lot of trial and error, and we do a lot of focus groups. Like, you know, Bloody Mary, for example, that's our newest flavor. It took us 6 months to develop that flavor, and we tweaked it for 6 months. So that's 6 months from, hey, we should make a Bloody Mary, all the way through, I actually have 100 jars of the Bloody Mary.
So to make Bloody Mary, I need your mix and what else?
You need water and vodka. So you need 6 ounces of water and 1.5 ounces of vodka to 3 scoops, heaping scoops of our mix. And you got a Bloody Mary. That's
and I
simple.
Can just mix it in the glass?
Mix it in the glass. We tell people is, mix it in the glass, pour it over ice, and garnish it with everything from a celery stalk to a cheeseburger, and you're good to go.
Interesting. So Liz, let's ask you the same question. You had to learn how to make gelato. How do you make gelato? I imagine you have to go to the mountains of Italy and study.
In Dallas and done a lot of research. There were recipes and the process was already in place whenever I took over, but I have improved on it and expanded. Just a lot of research. Like, I had no idea how much time, like you were saying, 6 months, like everything takes so much time to develop new recipes, and you have to balance the sugar. If you have too much sugar, it won't freeze right. If you have, you know, you have to, it's just trial and error.
And is there an understanding for both of you of the process, rather than just we follow this recipe and this happens? There has to be this other understanding, as you say, of just that flavor and that.
Very much so.
Right. I mean, you have to have good instincts with what's going to work in the first place. Otherwise, you're just going to be wasting product.
Exactly.
And throwing money down the drain. But if you have that instinct it's easy to play around.
Mm-hmm. So, Cliff, let me ask you again. How do you dehydrate flavor?
A lot of the powders we use come from a specific place in California, and the guy's called the Flavor Guy. We have a cell phone, and we'll call him up and say, hey, you know, this is what we're thinking about doing. Hey, maybe try this, this, and this. And 9 times out of 10, it works out perfect.
Can I have his number?
Yeah, I can get you the Flavor Guy.
I feel like we all need the Flavor Guy on speed
dial.
He's
an incredible guy, and it really blows my mind because he makes a huge selection of just dry, powdered flavors. And, you know, that was an ace in the hole for us.
So, Liz, you already do wine. Are cocktails next on your list?
So I'm slowly adding them. I'm focused right now on wine. It is a slow progression of changing people's perception of what Carpe offers. People don't really think about going to Carpe for a glass of wine, so it's really, I'm kind of focused on that, but I do want to add craft cocktails eventually, but it's going to be simple, like aperitifs and digestifs, Negronis and Boulevardiers, and you know, I really like Amaros. I would like to add a few more of those, but it's going to be education and teaching people and showing them the flavors and like
so
exposing
you're in a retail space. Do the zoning restrictions allow you to do that?
Yes, I had a really difficult time getting to that point because we're right next to First Baptist and the school. So zoning was an issue, but I had an ordinance. I learned all the city council people and went to the meeting, and yes, so we're good to go.
You and your husband are part owners of Pamplona, so you had experience in that kind of world.
I bartended.
Now you're actually tied to a retail store.
Right.
How is that different? What challenges does that bring?
It's a challenge. It is. September is notoriously slow for service industry. Yesterday, my accountant emailed me that it was National Milkshake Day, and I'm like, I really hate national holiday situations. Like, they're annoying, but they give a business an opportunity to promote a product.
Capitalize.
So, yes. So I make an Instagram post, and I put dollar milkshakes instead of dollar off. So everyone's coming in, and, you know, I'm like, my husband's texting me, and my phone's on silent. He's freaking out. I'm like, you know,
just get past it. Just get past it.
I did see this post.
Yes, it's a challenge. But so many people, even with that flub, I corrected it. But even with that, I had so many more people coming in that wouldn't have come in if I hadn't have made that post. So it's like I'm just having to learn what works.
Maybe we do
to get people in the door.
A dollar milkshake. Cliff, so you don't have the retail spot. You sell in retail stores.
Yes, ma'am.
But can we buy you online? Are you on Amazon and the big players?
So you can buy us directly from our website. We're looking into getting into Amazon right now, and it's an interesting row with Amazon because you got to, you know, they take percentages and they take certain, you know, cents and stuff like that from each order, and you have to make sure that all your shipping is factored in, because as everybody knows, you're not going to buy anything on Amazon unless it's Prime, unless it's shipped to you for free and it's going to get to you in a day. So, but from a retail standpoint, we're in Gentry, we're in Marcello's, we're in Joey's, and we're actively trying to get into more retail. It's been a struggle for us. It really has.
Wait, Liz just smiled. Liz, what are you thinking?
I don't know if Ross would mind if I had your product on my shelf or just down the street. But
yeah, I think you'd be fine.
I'll talk to him.
Yeah, exactly. And I do want to add, every time we're researching a cocktail, we go to Pamplona's first. Love the classic cocktail game over there. That's something special.
What happens if you add these to milkshakes?
I'm going to call the flavor guy first.
Yeah, we're calling the flavor guy. We'll see what he has to say. And then we'll go from there. We'll booze them up.
One step at a time, I mean.
So can you make money through retail? Or is it just about making people aware of the product?
No, I can make money through retail. Yeah, you basically have to build in, you know, you have to build wholesale margins in. That was a big thing for us. There's a lot of spreadsheets where, and I'm telling you, it's like 150 lines long of just calculations of showing ingredient costs down to the gram, because everything's based on grams for us. So you know exactly how much it costs, and when you go to retail, you know exactly what your profit margins are going all the way through.
There's so much more work that people don't understand. Like,
it's incredible.
I took over, and I text my husband. I'm like, when you say invoice, what exactly do you mean? You know, like, you have to learn, like, costing products out.
Yeah.
It's
The food business is all about profit margins.
It is. Yes. It's all about profit margins. And they change per item that you're selling. And a lot of people don't understand that. They say, oh, well, you should just make it across the board. No.
No.
You know, the old fashioned is a different profit margin than the margarita, which is different than the Bloody Mary. And for your case, probably different with gelatos, too.
I mean, I have to keep the prices consistent. I kind of eat it on certain things.
Yeah. You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Aileen Bennett. I'm talking with Liz Payne from Carpe Diem Cafe and Wine Bar in downtown Lafayette and Cliff Gouvion, co-owner of Leisureman's Cocktail Mixers. Liz and Cliff, this is the part of the show that we call The Interview. Liz, you have a business that relies on other people working for you. Cliff, you have to rely on contractors in both manufacturing and marketing your product. Picking the right person to work with or work for you can be a tough task. You only have a limited amount of conversation to work out if this person's going to be a good fit for you and your company. Lately, there's been this interesting trend in the workplace interview. It consists of asking the other person questions that go beyond the resume, questions they might not be expecting. I have a list of 16 of these interview questions in front of me, and I'm going to ask you to pick a number between 1 and 16, and let's see how you answer the question yourself. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'll go with my lucky number, 10.
Cliff, if I assembled three of your former supervisors in a room and asked them about you, what would they say about you that's not true?
They would probably say he's a very quiet, reserved, not boisterous, doesn't wear a headband, long-haired type of person. Because if you truly know me, I'm wild, I'm really loud, I'm kind of the guy that when you walk into a room, I'm either yelling or I go up and give somebody a big old hug or I'll spank him on the butt if I know him. Like, I'm just that type of guy. Like, I'm a very fun-loving kind of guy. And it's interesting to think about that because I go back to, you know, my couple bosses back and even my college professors, and they were always like, man, you're just loud and you're good at public speaking and you're good at that. I'm like, well, it's just who I am. I'm just being me. You know, I'm not trying to be anything other than me. And that's like my wife asked me today because I'm currently wearing a headband. She's like, you can wear the headband? I was like, yeah,
it's radio.
That's who I am. You know, why not? My hair was all messed up, so.
So would you hire somebody that gave the same answer as you've just given in an interview situation?
I think I would, but what I would probably do is put them in a situation with people and see how they respond. Because, yeah, you can be loud and over the top, but there's a line that if you cross it, you're no longer professional. So it's about bridging that gap, and I don't think you know, coming out of college or if you haven't been in the workforce or haven't worked, you don't know where that line is, and you may kind of just go overboard, and that's not what you'd want an employee, for sure.
Yeah, you don't want someone to be all about the attention for themselves.
Exactly.
You want people to know when to do it and how to do it.
For sure.
Great answer. Liz, pick a number between 1 and 16.
2.
If you woke up and you had 2,000 unread emails, but you can only answer 300 of them, how do you choose which ones to answer?
My accountant first.
Spoken like a businesswoman.
Every time she walks in the door, I feel like I'm in trouble. And that's really vendors and my accountant. I don't have family that email me. Those are my priorities right now.
I like that.
Yeah.
So again, if you're in an interview situation and you've just asked someone this question and they answered like that, what would you presume? Would you give them a job?
It would depend. Okay. It really depends on energy for me. It's not a black and white, clear-cut case.
So it's not about the answer. It's about how they...
It's what you're picking up when they're talking and how they come across. And it's the unspoken communication.
I think you've explained exactly why people have started using these kind of questions, because it's not about the answer, it's about how do they work when there's a question they don't expect. Do they make something up? Do they look terrified? Do they burst into tears? Which is really, you saying, how is it going to be in business when things you don't expect happen, which is exactly how business is for both of you.
Something that they could possibly have scripted to say.
So what situations have you both had where it's like unexpected, I did not expect this to happen in my business?
Since all of our mixes are classic cocktails, you know, we have run into trademark issues with classic cocktails. And that was kind of an unexpected thing for me because I didn't realize, you know, how could a company own the rights to a name? You know, like, and it's a public domain name, so how could they own that? But that was a very unexpected thing for me. And, of course, instantly you get nervous and you're like, oh, I'm gonna have to go to court or something like that. But as you step back, you say, okay, you know, you really just need to go through the steps and kind of go through the motions and make sure that they're happy, make sure that, you know, you as a company stay professional and you stick to your guns and you kind of go down the road you need to. And for us, it worked out, you know, and we pivoted and pivoted for the better in a sense, you know. So, but that was, it was a very interesting thing with trademarks.
I bet. Even Firesider right now, mm-hmm. have you heard of that?
Yeah, they're on one.
Yeah, I mean, they're suing everyone. And when it's an established old recipe that everyone has used,
well, they're
it's
under,
crazy.
They're under it because I guess the infringement is from, was it Fireball, right? The original one.
Oh, no, fire cider.
Oh, fire cider.
It's,
okay.
Yes, where you take apple cider vinegar and you steep, you know, horseradish and garlic and onion to boost your immune system.
Okay, interesting. I thought you were talking about the cinnamon whiskey.
Oh, no.
That's a complete
other
thing that's under it. There's a trademark issue with all that.
This company created, well, they didn't create anything. The recipe had been around for 100, 200 years.
Yeah.
And they named their company Fire Cider, which... that's what everyone had called this forever.
Yeah.
And now all these people in the health food industry, they're being sued by this company. And it's like, this is an established thing.
It's an established domain. People know about
yeah,
it. Yeah,
they're up in arms over it.
Do you run
it's
into
ridiculous.
This on names of your gelato? Are there recipes or names?
I mean, I'm not going to presume that I'm important enough for Snickers to come and.
You'd be very surprised.
I think Snickers listened to this show, so you may be in trouble now.
I didn't think I was until I got the letter from the attorney, and I was like, wow.
I guess I'll cross that bridge if I
Oh, yeah, you have to. That's the thing. And what I learned about it is you really can't be worried about it. Like, if it happens, it happens, and you move on. And that's what you have to do as a business owner. You really get punched in the gut with these things, and you just have to pivot and go. You know?
So what unexpected things happen to you, Liz?
For me, right now, actually, it's flooding.
That's right, you guys
flooding downtown. And it's not even the established hurricanes or the named hurricanes. It's the random 20-minute downpour where water is literally at my door. The really large rainstorm in June, we took on 6 inches. I walk in to 6 inches throughout my business, and my flood insurance hadn't... I don't know if I would have claimed anything because we got it out quick enough. But that's been the biggest challenge, actually. I mean, besides getting the right people to work for me...
Ah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
When you walk into Carpe, you're not always out the front. So
no.
The barista is the personality of the business. How do you hire the right people for that? I wish you could see her face right now. That was beautiful.
I am an introverted person, but I've been in the service industry for 23 years. So I know when I need to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I clock out and go home, I just kind of retreat and be in my nice, quiet place.
Press.
Yes. But I love the girls that I've hired, but they are all sweet, quiet introverts. And besides flooding, my biggest challenge has been to pull them out of their shell.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be fake, but you take your personality and you just turn it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as just asking, how's your day going? And being genuine.
Yeah. So are you hiring more introverts because that's what you're like and you're comfortable around those people?
Maybe.
And
maybe.
So then you have to persuade them to learn the things you've learned
because
over a long period
young,
of time.
And I'm 41 years old. You know, I've done this for a long time. And 19, 20, 21. And I remember when I was that age. And it was so painful to walk to a table and talk to strangers,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think that slowly with me coercing them and just telling and showing them that you don't have to be fake. I don't like fake people. I don't like people asking me, how's your day going, when they're like not genuine about it. But our customers, our regulars that come in all the time, I want them to feel appreciated because times are tough. And I really do appreciate every dollar that's spent there. It's not overlooked. So...
Cliff, you're still a startup company, really. You've got this product that you need to educate people around. Do you have this, like, billionaire somewhere financing your company? How are you making it happen?
We don't. It's honestly just myself and my wife. And we grind out, you know, nights, weekends, any free little nugget of time. We're either making jars or we're making single-serve packets or we're marketing it. You know, every little microsecond I get, I'm trying to do something with the business. And it's difficult. It really is, you know, to manage that time because I still have a full day job. You know, by day I do trade shows, exhibits, and marketing, little plug for Vox Exhibits. It's where I work. But by nights and weekends, I do Leisureman's, and it kind of has developed over time into something that I really enjoy doing, and it kind of fits my personality and fits what I, you know, truly love, which is cocktails and stuff like that.
Nobody needs gelato or a glass of wine or a delicious bar quality cocktail when they're in the middle of nowhere. But what sort of world would we be living in if we were too disciplined to indulge ourselves in these things that taste good and make us feel good? Liz and Cliff, you're both working in the world of discretionary spending, but often it's that small, affordable, and totally unnecessary discretion, like a delicious cup of coffee or a cocktail, that elevates our daily lives from routine to pleasurable. So thanks on behalf of all of us for doing what you're doing, and thank you both for taking the time to join me today on Out to Lunch.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Liz Payne, owner of Café Diem Café and Wine Bar, and Cliff Cuvillon, co-owner of Leisureman's Cocktail Mixes. You can find out more about Carpe Diem and Leisureman's by following the links on our websites, krvs.org and itsacadiana.com. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Morrell. Our researchers are Anne Christian and Ellie Coates. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on our website, itsacadiana.com, and on our It's Acadiana Facebook page. These photos were taken by Lucius A. Fontenot. You can find out more about Lucius at lafphoto.com. You can get this show and past shows as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, and you can find all of our podcasts on itsacadiana.com. You can also keep up with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and you'll find those links on our website, itsacadiana.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsacadiana.com and KRVS 88.7 FM. I'm Aileen Bennett. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the lunch table for more business Acadiana style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch is recorded live at Chopsticks Restaurant in Lafayette, where East meets Southwest. Authentic Chinese cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients. The Out to Lunch Acadiana theme music, Encore Monsieur Nice Guy, is written by Mitchell Foreman and performed by Mitchell Foreman and Andre Michaud. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. Support for Out to Lunch Acadiana comes from the Wyndham Garden Lafayette, located off Pinhook near Cali's Saloon. Wyndham Garden Lafayette is a pet and family-friendly hotel with reception space for large and intimate events, free parking, free Wi-Fi, and a free shuttle within 3 miles that includes the airport and downtown restaurants.
For 2 hours of true word sound power, classic heavyweight Rasta reggae radio, it's Jaman here on KRVS. Cecil here, chairing the Churchill Gathering every Sunday night from 9 to 11 or Saturday mornings 1 to 3 a.m. Heavyweight sound and lifted spirits guaranteed. Jaman here on KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles.
This is John Broussard, better known as JB.
And Melvin Caesar, better known as MC. And we want you to join us each week for the Zydeco et Passale program for the best in Creole and Zydeco music in the area and even in the world.
Zydeco et Passale, coming up Saturday morning at 8, right here on KRVS.
Hey everybody, it's Drake with the Franco Mix on 88.7 every Thursday night at 9. N'oubliez pas, c'est formidable. Yeah, n'oubliez pas encore de écouter le Franco Mix chaque jeudi soir sur KRBS 88.7 avec Drake LeBlanc. C'est formidable.
So, what if the person you take advice from could use a little advice themselves? On the next Snap Judgment, Misguided. We've got amazing stories from real people who maybe should have sought a second opinion. Snap Judgment. Storytelling with the Beat. Do not miss it.
Coming up tonight at 10 on KRVS.